What I always enjoy doing, just to kind of get started, is to do a little quieting meditation that I would be walking you through. So I would like to invite everyone to sit in a comfortable position. Sometimes helps to close your eyes and bringing your full attention to your breathing. And with each breath you take, as you exhale, see if you can relax your body just a little bit more. Breathing in and breathing out and relaxing your body. So I'm going to ask you to check in with yourself just at the physical level. So noticing how you're feeling right now in your body at the physical level. So notice if there's any body sensations, perhaps something, maybe some what you could label as body pain, or just any other sensation in your body. And I'm inviting you just to notice it, not to label it or judge it, but to witness it. And ask yourself, are you tired or rested? Are you hungry or thirsty or satisfied? Are you warm or cold? Or just right? Anything else you notice at the physical level? We're going to move over and shift our focus to the emotional level. Checking in with yourself to see if you can identify one or two emotions that are alive for you right now. They could be comfortable emotions. They could be uncomfortable emotions. There's no right or wrong here. Just each connecting with one or two emotions that you're feeling in this moment. Take a few more deep cleansing breaths. Invite you coming back into the room, opening your eyes if they were closed. And what I wanted to have an opportunity to do before I actually give you a little information about the class and what I hope this is all about is I wanted to pair you up and have you do what is called a reflecting exercise. The way a reflecting exercise works is that we're going to give one person an opportunity to speak for 3 minutes. And the question is, why did you sign up for this class on emotions? Why are you here? You basically have 3 minutes to talk to your partner, and your partner is just going to listen for those 3 minutes without interruption. And then after those 3 minutes, your partner will actually reflect back what they heard you say. It's not a question of interpreting or adding or questioning or saying anything more than, I heard you say blah, 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 blah. And after the reflector is done reflecting, then I'm going to ask the reflector to say, did I get it all? Did I get it all? Then the first person might say, yes, you got it all, or else they might say, actually, you missed this little part. So then they'll reflect back all of it. And, oh, yeah, I missed that part, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I hope that's clear. And so speaking, reflecting, switching, speaking, and reflecting. Welcome back. I'm wondering if maybe one person would be willing to share, how was that exercise for you? Not the content, but the exercise itself.
Yeah, I thought that was really great to practice. I like the technique. It's something I use as kind of a coach at work, and it was useful to not pass judgment, to just practice listening to what people's thoughts were, and also circling back and saying, did I get everything? And, of course, I forgot to do that. And so that was a learning moment when I remembered to do that. And for me, with my memory, it helps to take notes, and it helps to get practice in organizing them enough so I can read them and understand. So I think the technique and the exercise are both very helpful in my case.
Thank you. What I'm realizing is because we're on phones and we can't see each other face-to-face that you could have easily taken notes, whereas doing this exercise one-on-one, it's difficult. You know, you'd want to look at the person and listen and you know, not worry so much if you don't get it all. I think it's a great exercise to use if you're maybe having a little tension or conflict with someone, and just do it with each other to get clarity about something between you. So offer that as a wonderful way to get connected with others. I want to share that while Carol and I had our own little breakout, she said, well, I guess it's not so much you're taking the class, but you're teaching the class, and would you share why you're teaching the class? What I told her is that when I first started training in nonviolent communication about 10 years ago, I realized that I was really good at suppressing a lot of my emotions. And I was one of those people that I would see in Marshall's videos who would say, you know, Marshall, I really don't know what I feel most of the time. I just completely related to that. And when I learned more NVC and I got to the point where I realized, you know, I really want to be a trainer. This is just so resonates with me. I could see myself doing this forever. One of the things that they tell you when you want to be a trainer is you need to learn it, you need to teach it, and you need to live the process. So the learning it and teaching it I could do, and then the living it was like, wow, I have to really live this in my life every single day. So I started just working on my own with different emotions and just trying to identify what I was feeling and just sinking down into my body and just trying to experience in my body. And it's interesting because I am a meditator and I do sit in mindful meditation. But I think when I'd get off the cushion, I would just go right into my head. I'm very kind of cerebral and heady. But this process has helped me to sink down and to take my time and to really put my hand over my heart and ask myself, you know, what am I feeling? Another thing I've done is I've read a bit about feelings, and one of the books that I would recommend that some of what I'll be teaching you is based on is called The Language of Emotions, and it's by Carla McLaren. That's just a little bit about me and about why I feel so strongly about this. Since I've been learning to do this, and I've become more fluent with emotions and feelings, I've come to welcome all of them into my life. Like the Rumi poem, The Guest House, I'm imagining many of you have read that poem or heard that poem, where he talks about inviting all emotions into our life, even if they're a crowd of sorrows, to to invite them in, even if they're dark thoughts or shame or malice, because every emotion has been sent to us as a guide from beyond. I love that poem, and what I've realized is when I was able to invite in those dark thoughts, that all of them came as messengers. I want to talk to you just a few more minutes about emotions and what I've come to learn about emotions, and then we'll do some more work together. So what is an emotion? When I think of the word emotion, emotion, I think of energy in motion. So emotion is just a name that we give to a feeling that we have in our body. It could be a body sensation that's responding to some stimuli, either internal or external. But it moves through us. It moves through us, so it's energy in motion. And it sometimes takes a second, sometimes a week. But it is moving, and it's moving through us. And I used to think that there were good emotions and bad emotions, and I liked the good emotions. I didn't like the bad emotions. I wanted them to go away. And the truth is, we can't pick or choose our emotions, and they're sort of a boxed set. So they all come together, and if we start pushing away some emotions, we can push away all emotions. The idea then is not to judge them or label them or make them right or wrong, but just to allow. Because emotions are guides, they're messengers. When we don't listen to our emotions, we're not going to get the message. They can help us to navigate our way through our lives. They can help us to survive. And emotions come from the body. So it's the language of the body, kind of the mother tongue of the body. They can help to protect us. They can help to heal us. And they give us all the energy and information we need to create a meaningful and conscious life. So allowing ourselves to open to the experience of all of our emotions makes it easier for us to identify and to connect with the emotions of others. Let me share a little bit more, and I want to talk about ways that we deal with emotions after we do another exercise. Since this class is called All the Big Emotions, I'd like to hear from anyone, what are other, what we would consider big emotions in your life?
Well, for me, it would be grief or rage.
Grief, okay, or rage. Okay.
For me, it would be fear.
Fear. Big one. Obvious one would be anger.
Joy for me.
Joy, okay.
Doubt.
Doubt, okay. So I'll throw in depression. How about shame?
Shame. Shame's huge.
Yeah. And just to round it out, sadness. Okay. I have another meditation that I'd like to do with you. And it's an opportunity to connect with some of these big emotions and to really sink into your body and get a sense about what is your relationship to some of these big emotions. It's kind of a self-reflecting exercise. So I had sent a handout called Fueling Your Feelings. So after I do this quieting meditation around these emotions, for those of you who don't have that grid, I'll just explain it to you and then I'll have you draw your own. Well, then I would love to do this exercise with you, which will help to discover your relationship. It's kind of the meta level. What is your relationship with your feelings? So once again, I'm going to invite you to get very comfortable wherever you're seated. It helps if you're willing to close your eyes just to let go of the external stimulus and to be able to really sink into your body. Again, relaxing your body each out-breath that you take. I want you to have an opportunity to see which emotions are difficult for you and which ones are not difficult. Some people have feelings that are not acceptable to them. And imagine having the full range of your emotional being without exiling or censoring any of your feelings. So the purpose of the exercise we're about to do is self-awareness. It's not to judge yourself, it's just for self-awareness. So I'm going to be naming some emotions, and I'll be asking you to determine where you experience these emotions in your body. And this is just an experience that you'll be experiencing yourself, within yourself. And then after the exercise, I'm going to have you do some writing by yourself. So again, taking some slow, deep breaths. So the first emotion is sadness. Sadness. Where do you experience sadness in your body? And how do you feel about sadness? Is this emotion okay with you? Or not okay? Or no real strong feelings? Let it go, shake it off. I'm going to move to the next emotion. The next emotion is fear. Fear. Where do you hold fear in your body? And is fear an acceptable emotion to you? Is it unacceptable? Or no strong feelings about it? I'm letting that one go. The next emotion is anger. Anger. Where do you experience anger in your body? Is anger okay with you? Is it not okay with you? Or no strong feeling or opinion about it? Kind of neutral. So the next feeling is happiness. Happiness. Where do you hold or experience happiness in your body? And how do you feel about happiness? Is it okay with you? Not okay with you? Or no strong feelings? Letting that one go. Okay, the next feeling is shame. Shame. Where do you experience shame in your body? And is shame acceptable to you or not acceptable? Or just neutral? I'm letting that one go. Just got a few more. The next feeling is grief. Grief. Where do you experience grief in your body? Is grief okay with you, or not okay, or no strong feeling? Letting that one go, taking another deep breath. The next feeling is depression. Depression. Where do you experience depression in your body? Is depression acceptable to you? Unacceptable? Or just kind of neutral, no strong feelings about it. Take that one off. We've got one last feeling. Last feeling is joy. Joy. Where do you experience joy in your body? Is joy okay with you or not okay? Or just kind of neutral? No strong feeling about it. And I just realized I skipped over a feeling, so I actually am going to add one more, a feeling someone mentioned. That feeling is doubt. Doubt. Notice where you experience doubt in your body. How do you feel about doubt? Is it acceptable to you or unacceptable? Or no strong feelings? I invite you to take a few more deep cleansing breaths. Okay, if you happen to have the sheet that was downloadable, that's great. I'm just going to assume that some of you don't have it, so I'm going to invite you to get yourself a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil. There's going to be five columns from the top down, so five columns from the top down. We're making a grid. And then I'm going to ask you to draw nine rows and leave, you know, about an inch if you can or a little less than an inch for each row. So hopefully you've covered the whole page with a grid that's got five columns and nine rows. Go ahead and say at the top of the first column, put the word feeling. second column, put okay. Third column, not okay. The fourth column, neutral. And the last column is just for comments. Now for the rows, I'm going to tell you the feelings words, and I'm going to ask you in the very first row to add these feeling words in each of the boxes. The first one is sadness. Second one is fear. Next one is doubt, anger, happiness, shame, grief, depression, and joy. Okay, so just go over the list. Sadness, fear, doubt, anger, happiness, shame, grief, depression, and joy. Mary Kay, do you have a question?
Not so much a question, but as we were going through the list, you had resentment, and I realized that rang bells with me, and so I'm wondering if we could add that on.
Go ahead and add it. I had replaced it with doubt.
Okay. Okay.
Feel free to add it, especially if it rang bells for you. There's just a lot of words to pick, and I wanted to use some of the words that you all had shared. Okay, so I'd like to ask you to work on this so that you can go ahead and write down what your experience was so you can see how you were relating to all these feelings. I'm going to give you around 5 minutes, and I know that may not be long enough, so I'll check in with you in about 5 minutes. Go ahead and fill it out. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to go back into Dyads, and this is an opportunity to share what you noticed. And I'm not going to ask you to read every emotion and what your experience was with that emotion. What I'm really wanting is some of the highlights of what you noticed from this exercise, particularly any feelings that were unacceptable to you. So just what were the highlights for you? What did you notice? It won't be a reflecting exercise. You're each going to get approximately 4 minutes to speak and then switch. Okay, we'll get started. Okay, well, thank you and welcome back. Part of the opportunity to share in Dyads is so you get to process your experience. And then coming back to the larger group, again, you can just share with us maybe a highlight or an aha or something you want to remember about that exercise. So some, just one little bit that you got out of that exercise that was a learning for you, if you would be willing to share. So Anne, would you be willing to share a highlight from that experience?
Yes. I realize how many I checked off as not acceptable, and only happiness and joy were acceptable. So the learning that I had was that if I'm turning away from or suppressing all these others, I'm not going to be able to feel happiness and joy for very long.
Thank you, Anne. I really appreciate that. So, Laurel, would you be willing to share?
I'm really fascinated because I've been working in this area for a long time at NBC, and I'm someone who's really, 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 really self-aware. And the funny thing is that if I'm really honest, no emotion's good in my body. I mean, my initial knee-jerk reaction is I'm not okay with any emotion. But then because of all the training I've done and where I am in my life spiritually, I get to, they're okay, you know, that they're telling me something. The ones that were the hottest, if you will, were sadness, happiness, and joy. And I know I tend to be a pretty seemingly easygoing person, and I lately have been laughing so much. But somewhere in my body it resides of, when's the other shoe going to drop? So happiness and joy, happiness in particular, can signal to me the world's going to fall apart pretty quick because no one deserves to be happy. So I was really intrigued with this exercise because it pulled apart some things I had been telling myself that I thought I believed about emotions, that my body's telling me something different. And then in the first part of the exercise, it was really fascinating to see how certain emotions impacted the same part of the body. I love that.
Thank you, Laurel. Bill.
Well, I learned from my partner in there that the duality of some of the emotions having a good side and a bad side, I thought that was interesting. The other one I thought about in my case was they're all tools. They're all signals, messages from your psyche that are appropriate at different times. So by nature, some of them I look down on, sometimes they have more of a place than you might suspect at first.
So can I ask you, Bill, did you have any that you noticed were not okay with you?
Well, I struggle with depression one. That's not a good one for me. I try to avoid that as it's like a sand pit. You get stuck in, and then, you know, how do you get out? And it's not productive. That's contrasted with grief, which I think could be necessary or useful. So depression, I think, is the negative one. That's just the only one on there that I couldn't think of a silver lining for.
Thank you. Mary Kay.
I put a lot of unacceptables on my list, and I realize it's not so much that they're unacceptable. It's that when they arise in my body, it's a signal, and it's a signal that I don't really like. And I know it's there to tell me something else, but right there when it's happening feels unpleasant, and it feels like, ooh, I want this to go away. Although I don't always do productive things to make it go away. That's my initial reaction to it. It's just, ugh, go away. I don't want that in my life. It was really hard for me to figure out what part of my body these things reside, partly because I'm not feeling particularly any big emotion. So anyway, I was just doing the best I could, and maybe that says something about how out of touch I am with my body. I don't know. But that was challenging for me to try to figure that out, and I did the best I could.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Mary Kay. Thank you. So all kinds of different responses to the exercise. And Carol, are you willing to share how that was for you?
For me, depression was a big neutral. It's not in my vocabulary. I mean, it is, but I just don't apply it to myself. The big unacceptable ones were anger, which is if I feel angry, what usually follows that is a story that there's something wrong with me. And another unacceptable one was shame. And shame is really hard because when I'm feeling shame, I want to hide. And yet it's so common that it's hard to pick out when I'm feeling shame. I hope that makes sense.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, so I just want to give you a little thumbnail about all these emotions because, as I said earlier, they all come as messengers. There's not a good and bad emotion, just an emotion. That's that energy in motion. And you don't have to take any notes on this because I'm going to send you my notes. I'm also going to send you a feelings inventory because we'll have a little home fun assignment at the end. The briefest thumbnail of all these emotions, the first one being sadness, Sadness is really all about letting go. It helps us to slow down, to feel whatever loss we need to feel in the moment, and then to release it, just to release it and to let it go. So fear is all about focus, intuition, and instinct. Fear is kind of a primal wisdom that can be about self-preservation. Fear can bring us energy to deal with change or an unusual or novel situation. It can also help to give us capacity to live life on our own terms. So really being connected to what we're needing in the moment. So that's fear. Let's get to resentment, because I had that on my original list and I changed it to doubt, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about resentment. It's in the category of hatred, but it's not quite as strong as hatred. It helps us to learn about ourselves and to look at our shadow side. And that shadow side of us holds our unfelt emotions, our unacceptable behaviors, our unlived dreams, and our squelched impulses. So the next one is anger. And we're going to spend next week mostly working on anger, so I'll just give you again the thumbnail. Anger is all about boundaries. And you'll notice with anger, there's usually a should or a shouldn't attached to anger. Anger allows us to relate authentically and respectfully, hopefully respectfully, if it's channeled in a healthy, appropriate way. When we repress our anger, we can enmesh ourselves with others. We can also feel depression when we repress our anger. Some of you may know that, experienced or worked with NVC, that Marshall often says that depression is anger turned inward. So happiness, it's all about hope, delight, wonder, playfulness. Somebody noticed that even happiness can be not an acceptable emotion, because happiness, if we refuse any other emotions but happiness, our emotional landscape can become unbalanced. Some of us, that's the only emotion that we're willing to accept, but our emotional landscape can become stagnant. So I'm going to go into guilt and shame together, because guilt is often I did something wrong, and shame is I am wrong. So guilt is some acknowledgement of wrongdoing. We're either guilty or not guilty in relation to some legal code or moral code that's of value to us. So guilt is kind of that factual state, but shame is that really, really strong emotion. And if our shame is free-flowing and we're connected to it and we can identify it and we're okay with it, it will watch over us and assure that our behavior is honorable and correct. Shame is one of those emotions I'm really encouraging people to connect with and learn about and learn to have a healthy connection with our shame. The truth is, if we don't have that healthy connection with our own shame, we can often embody the shame of others. So we were taught about shame by being shamed. You know, I'm sure all of us have heard the expression, shame on you. But being connected to our own shame, we're not embodying the shame of others. So shame can connect us to our own integrity. So the next one is grief. And grief, of course, goes further than sadness. Grief asks us to become quiet and stop all forward movement, to stop, to drop, and to grieve. And we grieve so that we can honor the loss, and we don't forget. It'll drop us into the river of all souls, that deep river that flows underneath all life. And I seriously believe that we live in a grief-impaired culture, that grief is something that is wonderful to experience in a community, It goes well with ritual. So like funerals or shrines or wakes have the importance of grief so we don't forget. So depression, boy, again, these are just kind of thumbnail, and I regret I'm going through them so quickly, but we'll have time next week and the week after to talk about some of this. There's clinical depression and there's situational depression, and situational is usually something happens, and clinical more something that's an imbalance inside of us. It's considered the stop sign of the soul. It takes us out of commission for crucial reasons, and it's body's natural way to protect us as a response to a destabilizing stimulus. So depression can protect us, and it can be self-respecting. There's a wonderful analogy of depression with World War II in England, where children were sent to the countryside for their own protection because of the bombing that was going on in London. So think of it as like we're exiling a little part of ourselves to protect us. Do doubt, and then I'll do joy. With doubt, it's about our intentions. Often there is not a clarity of our intentions, and it's an opportunity to reconnect with our center, with our heart, to get to know ourselves and to understand where we're coming from. The last one is joy. It's expansive. It's about communion, inspiration, radiance, bliss. And it's different from happiness, which is often external. Joy is a sense of communion, a sense of oneness, connects us with spirit or beauty or love or nature. Not always related to something outside, this just sense of joy. So those are all of the emotions that we got to experience today. I'm going to ask all of you to check in with yourselves every day this week and ask yourselves at least 3 times a day, how am I feeling right now? And how do I feel about that feeling? So see if you can ask yourself. It's fine if you want to journal it, but you don't have to. But if you have some way to remind yourself, like a note on the bathroom mirror or something, to be checking in with your feelings. So I'm wondering if each of you could just say a couple of words about how you are right now. Anne?
Attentive.
Attentive, thank you. Laurel?
I'm balanced, actually, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bill?
Informed, encouraged.
Mary Kay?
I just want to say something. You said check in with your feelings.
A couple of times a day during the week, check in with your feelings, and then notice how you're feeling about that feeling. Okay?
Notice it's okay to feel this way.
Yeah.
Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah, noticing how are you feeling about the feeling. It's the meta level. It's what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
looking at it from that level. Great.
Okay. This is good. It's a challenge for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling excited and encouraged, and I'll look forward to meeting with all of you again next week.